Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gamers First Podcast. This is our fifth episode. We took a little week-long hiatus.
We did.
But we're back.
We were moving. We were moving to different parts of the planet.
That's right. Well, you know, as always, I'm Drew Ingram, and with me today is Brian Cayley, and
how's
that's right. We were moving. I moved across the country.
And I moved across the block.
That's right. So I'm out in Columbia, South Carolina. This is our first attempt to do the podcast via distance. We're using
Skype
action today.
So we have no idea if this works.
Right. So we'll see how this one turns out. Be sure to let us know if it's just you're not able to listen to it.
Trash.
It sounds like trash. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, what have you been playing there, Drew?
Well, let's see. After the 20-hour drive and all that kind of stuff, I was not ready to play games. I was ready to like run around outside.
Right.
But I did in the last couple days. I settled into the first week of class, and I only have classes before noon, actually. So I've got big chunks of my day and not much to fill it with right now. So I finished up Infamous 2.
Yeah, you were just telling about that.
Right, yeah, and so I went full hero and got the good ending. It was a pretty good twist and turn of events with that decision, which I really appreciated.
What did you think about that big final boss battle?
Excellent. I thought that it came together really well.
Yeah.
And everything, the whole Beast story really was great.
Yeah.
And they did a lot with it.
That game is definitely really good. I really enjoyed that. I think I played that game twice, actually.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking I might have to because I'm very close to, like, I've done most of the difficult things to get a platinum trophy right now.
Mm-hmm.
I found all the blast shards. I bought all my powers. I found all the dead drops. So what I have left isn't that much.
Actually. Yeah.
I just have to play through the game again on hard mode. And do everything evil, and I ought to be able to.
Who wants to be evil, though? Being evil is so hard.
Yeah, it's gonna be different. IGN had a really good article on like, do real world morals apply to
video games? Yeah, I read that. That was a good article.
Why they shouldn't, and I thought that was really well written. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but I thought it was really well written.
Well, I've been all over the map. I moved. But that only made me want to play video games more. I am on Gamefly, so I get a lot of games. And
right, so you're getting all these great ones.
And I was lucky enough to get Darksiders 2 and Sleeping Dogs. I actually got Darksiders 2 about a week before, so I'm about 8-9 hours in that game, and I really like it. You know, I actually kind of, I don't know, I didn't get bored, but Darksiders, the first one, didn't hold my attention to the whole thing. Like, I mean, I was like down and up, but this one, like, I mean, oh man, like, it's a lot of fun. The RPG elements are amazing.
It looked like they were putting some really good time into that.
They did.
And, you know, loot systems are always fun. We were talking about how much we liked.
Yeah.
And, so I can't wait to play Darksiders.
It's a different kind of, I mean, it is a loot system. It is an RPG, but it's an interesting system because, I mean, yeah, sometimes you're not going to get the best equipment, but it's usually pretty good at when you open a chest, like, you're going to get something new. If anyone drops something, you end up getting something new. I mean, usually they're not always rare items, so you still get that little jump in you when you see that purple glowing item on the ground. You're like, oh, my God, yes.
Well, they have those, so they put in those rare items, and I don't remember what they're called, but they can absorb your other weapons, so you can upgrade. Right.
Yeah, yeah. They have like soul powers stuff, like so for fire and ice. It's really fun, and it's really fun watching your character grow with all these things and like the different looks he gets and the different outfits that you get to put on him. It's really awesome, and the story is just great. Like, the story is really good. I enjoy. Like, you really feel like death. Like, it's awesome.
Cool. Yeah, because I know that's what people were looking at the game, and a lot of opinions and some reviews and stuff were kind of to the contrary. They're like, you know, they're kind of, this is death. Everybody's supposed to be afraid of him. Why are people fighting him? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think a lot of it's a game that you have to have played the first one because you have to know what's going on. I mean, the Earth is already done. Death is trying to like save his brother. The Horsemen aren't really as powerful. No one sees them as powerful as they are. I mean, they still do. They're like, oh man, you're dead. Like, what are you doing here? But in the end, like, they all know he's trying to save mankind. So it's this very interesting struggle because it is a continuation of the first game. I mean, it's picking up right where it left off, and he's trying to clear his brother's name.
Right, or it goes on at the same time as the first game. Is that right? It's so like the first little chunk of the first game, and then War goes to sleep or is like knocked out for like 100 years, and this happens during that time, right?
Yeah, it happens. I think it happens after the. I can't remember what happened at the end of the first game, but
the end of the first game, the Horsemen are all coming to Earth. The next three, the other three Horsemen. Spoiler alert! War wins, and the Horsemen are going to come. But from what I understand, this game goes on at the same time. So the very first level of Darksiders, I know I just played the game, right?
Okay.
And the first level you go through, and it's the apocalypse is happening at that moment. And War ends up getting defeated because he's kind of like tricked into that kind of stuff. And then War is like in chains and incapacitated for what they say is about a century. And this game is supposed to take place during that century. So the apocalypse has been called. Death knows that War isn't guilty, but War is like
right.
Unable to be spoken. So you're out to see what actually happened.
Okay, I guess, yeah. Then I know it's going on simultaneously because I thought it was actually like almost a direct sequel because the Earth, like all the people on Earth are dead. So the only way to save War is to bring life back to the planet Earth. Like bring.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what, when War is out, when he's knocked out for that years, that's when man falls. And man falls on, then heaven and hell.
Okay.
And then you come back into that mix. And so this is like death. After man is dead in heaven and hell, kind of like, or going through heaven and hell, trying to figure out how to save what's left of man.
Oh, all right. Well, that makes more sense then. But yeah, so yeah, it's great. You're definitely gonna like it, Drew. You're really gonna like it. But yeah, so I've been playing that, and I've actually stopped playing it because I got Sleeping Dogs, and I was like, oh man, I just want to put this in and try it, and I did, and now I can't stop playing it. I love it. Sleeping Dogs is awesome. It is definitely what open world games are gonna strive to be. It is really awesome. It's really hard actually because everything is hand to hand combat and like free flow motion and understanding what's going on and realizing who's got the weapon and disarming that guy, using that weapon. You only get to use it for a limited time, then he drops it, and then moving in the scene and taking out people with guns and taking out people that are stronger than you. And using the environment. It's crazy. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, I've watched a lot on that game, and I think we talked about in the first podcast that, you know, you were definitely a lot more excited about that game than I was.
Yeah.
At this point, it's really got my attention because it's very different from a lot of other games. It's supposed to have a more coherent story, a little more serious story than a Grand Theft Auto or a Saints Row.
Yeah.
And then like you said, there's a big focus on hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
And the melee system and that kind
of stuff. It's great. And the story is really good because, I mean, you're an undercover cop and they really kind of go into this psyche of it all and like how it's like messing with you trying to be, you know, a cop but also, you know, make it so people don't realize you're an undercover cop in like one of the most worst triad gangs in all of Hong Kong.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's, and you're kind of, It seems to me from the outside that you kind of start to really play both sides because it's like you're this cop and you've infiltrated the triads, but a lot of your like childhood friends, you went away to San Francisco and were a cop. Is that right?
Yeah.
And they came back to Hong Kong and immediately were undercover. So like you came back and reunited with old friends and they kind of stuck up for you and got you into this triad, right?
Yeah.
And you're kind of going from there. So you're really sitting there betraying your friends as you're, you know, infiltrating this triad. And so it seems like it's going to play a lot off of that, and an interesting story because of that.
And and it's got an awesome backdrop of the whole thing where you're also on sort of a vendetta because your sister was a drug addict and she could never shake it, and it was this triad gang that eventually ended up killing her.
Okay, wow.
So, yeah.
Supplying the drugs and all that kind of stuff. And
it's crazy.
That sounds like a good one. And it sounds like they really did come through in the story department and got a little bit of a deeper story.
Yeah.
And like, hey, I'm going to be a crime boss and take over this city.
Right, yeah. It's not just, you're still doing the sort of mission where you're helping people, but your progression in the game and who you are isn't necessarily trying to make your way up the ladder and become the crime boss. This is really about balancing being a cop, being undercover, and trying to score your revenge.
Right. Interesting. Yeah.
But yeah, so I played that, and I told you I played a whole lot of Rayman Origins, and me and my wife have been playing that, and that game is so amazing that I ended up using the credit I had on Gamefly to buy it, and after I used all my credit, it was only like $5. Now I officially own that game. It is so much fun. It is insane.
I've heard some really good things about that game, and yeah, it seems like a really fun one. I've been playing some games kind of like that, a little couple of PlayStation Network games that are platformers and that kind of stuff. There's one called Sideways New York. These are all games that I got for free on PlayStation Plus. I'll plug that again real quick. Just a lot of cool things. I'm actually back in the beta for Dust 514, so next week, as long as this is working out, we'll figure out something to talk about. I'm back in that beta, and they actually did Dust with the Eve Universe now, so you can call in the orbital strikes and that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Start testing that stuff out. I'm excited to jump back into that a little bit, and I heard they added a new coat of polish that it looks a lot better now. We'll see if I get that down and ready to go.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know. You'll have to let me know what that's like.
And so I'm excited to do it, but I've been playing Sideways New York, which you get drawn into this graffiti world called Sideways, and it's actually a really cool art style. It's a pretty old game from what I understand, but you look like a graffiti art on the wall, and you can only move on the walls or like on concrete surfaces. Sometimes you'll jump from the wall to the roof of the building, but then you have to. It's got some interesting platform mechanics in it, and it's a lot of fun. And then the other one I've been playing is Outland, and that's a platformer and regular like old school Metroid games and that kind of stuff, where you have to change it up depending on the enemies, and so you have two main states of being: one's blue and one's red. It's supposed to be like light and dark,
mm-hmm.
and you can switch between them at any time. And while you're the color, like, so say I'm red. While I'm red, I can't hurt by the red beams of energy or any of that stuff. But I can't hurt the red-colored enemies. I'd be blue to hurt the red color.
Oh, okay.
That it'd be the same color to not get hurt. And so it's a really interesting mechanic that adds a lot to the platforming, actually. But there'll be just like running across a straight place. You have to swing between the colors, but you're not getting hurt because you only have a couple of more times to get hit. So that's really cool.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. That very simple sounding mechanic creates a whole new kind of gameplay.
Right.
And it keeps it interesting. Like I said, I mean, you can be running along a flat space and still feel, it can still be difficult. There was a part where I died multiple times and it was just flat. I didn't really see that in the platform.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what we have been rocking as of late, in terms of moving into what's been going on in this last 2 weeks since we missed. I mean, I know there's been probably quite a few more than what we have here. We're kind of, again, testing all this out, but we found a few things to talk about. And I actually meant to mention to you, Drew, have you heard about this State of Decay, this open-world zombie adventure that's coming out?
I've seen a little bit, but probably paid as close of attention as I should have.
It looks really interesting. It looks like it's going to be an Xbox Live and a Sony Arcade game. That's
right.
Yeah, that's based in this open, ever-changing world, depending on like how you interact in it. And it's all about surviving a zombie apocalypse. It kind of sounds like almost DayZ in a way. Which, I mean, even speaking of DayZ, they were talking about making DayZ for consoles as well.
Yeah, but hearing a lot of, I think DayZ really did open that up. It's a combination of that and the Telltale's Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it has been since the last, like I said, I played both Walking Dead episodes. When I think it's coming up soon. And I'm excited about that. But yeah, I think DayZ and Walking Dead have really popularized a lot of this zombie stuff. It's growing. And the mechanic, I mean, like, when you die, you die. You're done.
Right.
And that's how Arma was, the game that it's a mod from.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're making DayZ standalone, so they might bring it to consoles, or you get things like this game. Remind me of the name that we're talking about.
The State of Decay open world zombie adventure.
Same kind of thing, like, people can come up and kill you and take all your resources, and you gotta start over and that kind of stuff, and makes it kind of real. Like in Walking Dead, you have to make choices on whether or not you want to, you know, like steal this food and stuff.
Right.
Like there's not necessarily, sometimes there's people, sometimes there's not. You have to make decisions on like whether you want to kill somebody in front of everybody else. Because like they've been harming you and they tried to kill you. Do you then go like kill them, or do you start to kill them and then like walk away? And Telltale, what's really cool is they keep stats on all this. So they have percentages from the Walking Dead games of who did what. So it's like 55% of people stole from the back of this car. It's not your car and it looks like it's been abandoned, but you don't know for sure. So 55% of people took the food, 45 didn't. And there's things like, yeah, like did you kill such and such character? And you know, they get stats like 77% of people did not kill him, and 23% of people did, or that kind of stuff. So that's interesting to watch. But I think all of that is coming together. I lost a bit of your sound, Brian. I still can't hear anything you just said. Yeah. Let's see if any of this starts to work. I still can't get you. Did you hit the mute button or anything?
No. Hello.
There you go.
Did I mute myself?
I think so.
Whoops.
We can always edit some of that out.
Right. All right. Don't hit mute button. Check. Got it.
Yeah.
If anyone was wondering what the weird pause was, if there's going to be one at any point, I hit the mute button. That is my bad.
All right, well, we're going to take most of it out, but we'll see. So I think between Walking Dead and DayZ, this zombie survival where you have to make tough choices and it's people on people, not just people on zombie.
Right. Well, let's see what else we got here. What else did I pull up for our awesome people? Wait.
Right on here. I have the OnLive bankruptcy. So OnLive actually went down the drain right after the Ouya announced that the Ouya was going to be launching with the OnLive service.
Oh, man.
And so OnLive, they've been acquired now. So I think it was kind of the process of what was going on. So I think they've been acquired. They're going to run and act in much of the same way that they have been acting. For those of you that don't know, OnLive was one of the first cloud gaming services where you can just kind of stream games. So it's like Netflix, but for games.
Right.
It's like the other half of Netflix. Gamefly, I'll send you the disc. OnLive, you actually just start playing from the internet. It's a nice cloud streaming service like that. And so they were one of the first ones. Sony just bought up one of the other ones. But OnLive they announced that the Ouya console was going to launch with OnLive.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it still is. I think OnLive was bought. I think they've been bought by somebody.
Yeah, no, exactly. But so OnLive actually went down, and a lot of people were scared about some of that kind of stuff and what was going to happen. Now they have been picked up. They're bought. It looks like they're going to be almost the same company. There's probably going to be some business stuff in the back end that changes.
Right.
So look out for that if you've been following online.
Yeah, and also if any of you are interested, this could be spoilers for some. I don't see it as anything too bad, but Halo 4 achievement list has been revealed, so anyone who's really excited for Halo 4, looks like there's going to be 8 total missions. It looks like there might even be an extra bit of cut sequence at the end, like they've done in the past, if you beat it on Legendary difficulty, because it's the achievement you get is called the Legend of 117. As anyone knows, 117 is Master Chief. So maybe there's a interesting little cut sequence after that. But some of the ones I wanted to pick out because I thought they were awesome, of course, is like Bromageddon. If you complete the campaign cooperatively, oh my god, I can't even say it. It's like Apocalypse, but with bro in it. So Bro Apocalypse. Yeah, that's it.
Got it.
And I mean, it's just, it looks awesome. I think one of everybody's favorites is going to be the Dong Blainer, I think is how, I don't even know how you pronounce this, but it's winning 20 war games, matchmaking matches. So there's definitely going, I mean, I know we're all excited, and I mean, I'm sure this is retarded to even say over a podcast, but it's worth checking out. I think it should be on any major video game blog, blog or website right now, the whole entire achievement list. Definitely go over there and check that out. And on top of that, with Halo 4, there was a little tidbit of information today. Everybody's worrying about exactly how long will these Spartan Ops DLC be. Everybody's like, oh yeah, we've all heard before that it's going to be a whole campaign, but we know it's not. We know it's only going to be like 2 hours worth of stuff.
Right.
Well, Bungie has come out and said that Spartan Ops DLC is longer than ODST, the entire game. So that should give you a pretty good idea of just how much content like you're just going to get. I mean, just how much story you're going to get. You're going to get a game that was longer than ODST. So I think that's pretty insane.
That's broken up into chunks.
Right, right, yeah.
You get about an hour at a time, though, it sounds like, for...
Yeah, it sounds like it. I'm imagining so, 8 episodes, probably an hour. So, 8 hours altogether.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No, definitely not.
Let's see what else. Transformers Fall of Cybertron.
Yeah.
I don't think either of us have played it other than you played the demo.
Yeah, and I guess I was wrong. I mean, I guess they fixed some things, because it seems a lot of people have said it's like one of the best action third-person shooters that had come out this year. So I'm looking forward to getting it.
You know, it's different. The great thing about these Transformers games is they're not cover-based third-person shooters.
Right.
Yeah.
the way that everybody's gone.
I'm alive. The destruction of the mic falling off my head was me going to turn my phone on.
Well, that's good.
Oh, goodness. This is going to be a funny podcast.
This is going to be one of our better ones. I was wondering when I heard the phone and then big old thud.
Oh, man. All right. What were we talking about?
Transformers.
Yes.
It's not – I was just going through the – you know, Uncharted and Gears of War and all those games do their cover release.
Right.
Transformers is, I think the way that the developers say is a movement-based.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, you know, you go through it and you have the ability to transform it anytime. And that's really what you're using to move around the battlefield to
right.
Go through and go to cover, and you know, instead of cover, you're just like, okay, well, let me fly across the map, so I'm, you know, going around this guy.
Yeah, it looks really good. The video review I watched looked pretty awesome. A lot of amazing set pieces and transform awesomeness.
So I think that, you know, one of the points of conflict that people were like, oh man, they got rid of co-op in the campaign.
Yeah.
The first one was, there were always three characters on screen. You could play any of the three, and you could always have two people in with you if you wanted to. But what it allowed them to do by going to one character per level is design a level around that character. So when you're playing as Cliff Jumper, like, you actually have to use Cliff Jumper's unique abilities.
Right.
You have to, like, play it stealth. I think it turns into the... You have to go invisible and stealth through the level and that kind of stuff. Or
right.
Some of these guys that transform into like helicopters and airplanes, you know, it's not a very like funnel level, or it doesn't have to be built in like one specific way. It can be built just around that character.
Mm-hmm. It definitely looks very like a very well done upgrade to the first game. A lot of the things carried over that worked the last time, and then they fixed a lot of the things in the repetition and the color and the scale of what's actually going on, I think, has even been achieved in a much greater fashion this time around, with the fact that you're trying to escape what is now your dying planet.
Yeah, no, exactly. You went from a war over the planet to, I think, the beginning of this game has been you leaving.
Right.
Except after the end of the first one, where you're, you know, it's kind of over, you're leaving the planet, and you end up having to come back. And as this planet is dying, kind of fight for its last breath and the chance to escape and continue life somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well, beyond that, I think one of the things that we were going to talk about is Madden is releasing on next Tuesday. We should get reviews later on this afternoon. I believe IGN's dropping their review 5 o'clock their time, so what's that? I don't know. It's like, you know, 6 or 7, all, you know, whatever. You can do the math. 5 o'clock IGN time, which is San Francisco time.
Yeah. 5 Pacific, that makes it 8 Eastern. So you can, if you're in the middle, you know, screw you. But that's 7 Central and 6 Central.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see what that gets. All the talk about how this has been like the biggest change, the most they've ever done to Madden in the last decade. So it'll be interesting to see if that's, you know, if that's actually true, or if they just, you know, try.
You know, yeah. So I've been watching some Madden footage, and I've actually been looking a little more into this kind of stuff as sites have a little more coverage on it these days and that kind of stuff. And it looks like they did a really good job. They brought the announcers in, they brought Phil Simms in and those guys, and they had them in the room together, and they had them watch multiple games of Madden and call them as they saw them. And so it was, you know, somewhat scripted, but mostly freeform. So
right.
One, the announcing is supposed to be really good and really natural. You can even hear the guys stumble over some lines here and there. And so it makes it very real. It makes you feel like you're watching an NFL game.
Right.
And I know that was one of their goals for the series. And so I think with announcing, they've done that a little bit. They also, the camera angles are different. And you can really notice it. I notice it on field goals, when you watch somebody kick a field goal in Madden, the two camera angles that you get, the one behind the player and then the one of the goalposts, are the exact camera angles that they use when you're watching the NFL on TV.
Oh, man, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's the level of polish is beyond any other Madden game, in my opinion. Just that kind of stuff. So it kind of brings you into the experience. They, of course, upgraded the Infinity engine and that kind of stuff. So it's supposed to be, the graphics are supposed to be so much better.
Yeah, the physics engine.
Right. And then I think one of the other, or the other really big thing this year is what they call connected careers mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the online career mode.
Right. So it's online, it's career mode, franchise mode, create a character mode. It's everything in one, and it's online. So it's not just your, it's not just my like dynasty mode or franchise mode or whatever the heck it's called.
Right.
You know, I have that, but it's not just a week-to-week experience. You can actually, so you can create your character and put them into your team if you want to. You can also go into, they have a practice mode, and their practice mode is completely redone. It's not like, hey, run this play 7 times or whatever, which is how it has been in the past.
Right.
It's, hey, put you in a situation. It's 3rd and 7. We need a 1st down.
Right.
Or, hey, you know, it's the 4th quarter and we're down by 10. Can you bring us back?
Can you do it?
It's, you know, they make a good point. And the way that a player really proves to a coach that they're ready to play in the game is not through, you know, the normal repetitions of practice, but is through, you know, game time situations.
Right.
Situations. And so putting you in those game-like situations really kind of changes the practice mode and adds a lot to it. And another thing for practice mode is when you go into practice mode, the AI, the computer, will be running the next team. So like, say we're in a league together, Brian, and we're playing each other next week.
Mm-hmm.
I go into practice mode this week, that my AI will run your offense and defense.
That's awesome.
And so it won't necessarily be like whatever plays you run the most or anything.
Uh-huh.
It kind of gives that scouting aspect. Like my AI will become the scout team. And so they'll run your defense and run your offense to get me prepped for against the 3-4, if you play a 3-4.
And this is all going to be on the connected career, correct?
Yeah, this is all in connected careers. So there's a lot going on there. You can also, they got some nice tweets from guys like Adam Schefter, you know, and a lot of these guys that are kind of internet and sportscaster personalities. So they have fake tweets on there for them. And goes by, have different things. And, that also goes to your create a character mode. They'll give, like, the draft set up and start tweeting about whoever the rookie of the year was. So the people in Madden created these guys for, like, 3 years down the road that are supposed to be, you know, good guys, good players or whatever. They're just random.
Right.
You're still getting these, like, new rookies that, you know, have a lot behind them. And you can even watch Twitter blow up about them. You can watch the big news from that week in your career mode and that kind of stuff. So you and Marcus play each other, and I can see the headlines from that game and that kind of stuff. So
that's pretty awesome.
They really want to make it look like a fresh experience. And so you technically play that mode as a coach. So you can pick one of probably about 100. I don't know the actual number, but one of many coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Create your own coach. You can play as a legendary coach, or you can play as a current coach, some current coaches. And you get a playbook that's based off of what they used to do. It's not necessarily their playbook. But you get a playbook that's like the playbooks that they, the plays that they would run. And you can kind of bring that stuff in. So it looks like they really, yeah, they have that next level polish on Madden 13.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to check it out. I wish I could get it on Tuesday, but I'll probably have to wait.
Yeah, I would imagine that's going to be one that I'll wait for as well.
Yeah.
Especially as we creep ever closer to Borderlands.
Yes. We are only a stone throw away.
That's right. It'll be here before we know it. It's like 3 weeks from this
Tuesday.
Yeah,
I think 3 weeks.
So that's going to, you know, we're obviously excited for that one.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait for that game. Well, this has been definitely a learning experience. I know we always like to finish out some movie news. Luckily, I always have some for the people. There's some interesting things going on with 3D out there right now. I think it was Japan. I don't want to say who because I can't really remember. But they've managed to create a way where you'll be able to go, well, assuming theaters do this, but they've designed a way to basically watch 3D without glasses in the theater.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like the Nintendo 3DS stuff on steroids.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was really interesting, as well as, there was something else I think I had for you, Drew, but I think I've lost it. I can't remember now. That sucks. So yeah, that was one of the biggest things I saw for this week was the glasses 3D.
Right, today Avengers 2 stuff came up.
Yes.
State 2015, right?
And Josh Whedon will be writing and directing, which is very exciting.
It's great to have him back. He did a great job with Avengers this summer.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that.
Let's see. I have two more quick gaming things.
All right.
Grand Theft Auto 5 screenshots came out.
Yes, it did.
They look mostly like vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah, some jets. Little
things you do outside, I guess, is what you could say. But yeah, there's a jet. There's somebody riding a bike, like a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody riding a dirt bike. They showed the Cheetah, which is one of their classic sports cars that's been around for a long time, I think. But different vehicles, different things to do outside.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I had was Nintendo Power Magazine.
I do not know what that is.
They've announced that they are shutting down. It's one of the oldest gaming magazines around and one of the longest running magazines in general.
Oh, wow.
Started in 1988, and they announced that they're having to close their doors. I think it's just that. So Nintendo stopped publishing the magazine somewhere in the 2000s, and this other company picked it up and was still pushing it and stayed really true. It was great Nintendo news and really kind of set the bar for things like OXN, the official Xbox magazine, or even PlayStation magazine. Game Informer, they all kind of took elements from Nintendo Power.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's I can't believe it's...
Yeah, so they're coming to a close, and it just kind of unfortunately shows that Nintendo and the internet are not really mixing these
names. Yeah, that is the truth.
I mean, Nintendo used to have one of the most active forums on the internet. And then they shut down their forums. And I don't know why the heck they did that, but they shut down their forums a long time ago. It was maybe 5 years ago that they shut those down. And I thought that was interesting. And then Nintendo Power hasn't been able to transition to online. Whereas a lot of magazines, I get my Game Informer on my iPhone and my computer every week.
Oh, do you really? You want the digital, huh?
So I'm really going that route, and I think there's a significant number of people that are going that route, and it looks like this magazine is just another one of the ones to fall off and not really be able to do that, or not do it well.
Right.
Fortunately, it's kind of the end of an era. The other big thing about Nintendo Power is, so it launched kind of when the NES launched, the old school Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah.
And what people would do is, this is before like the rise of the internet, right? This is before GameFAQs or any of that kind of stuff where you can go online and look up how to do things. There are no walkthroughs. So what you could do is you could write into Nintendo Power with like a question that you had about a game,
mm-hmm.
answer it in the next issue.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So this is how people learned to beat games like the original Castlevania or Battletoads, these games that were just insanely hard. You know, even games like Zelda or Zelda 2, you know, when they first came out, people didn't have a way to share with each other how to beat these things.
Right.
Nintendo Power was the way that they did that. So you could write in questions and answers on how to do things in a game.
Well, I think Nintendo Power proved the point that you have to adapt to survive.
Right, exactly. They obviously can't do that anymore. Nobody's going to wait a month.
Right.
I think when that magazine started, it came out like once a quarter. So you could write in on how to solve this game, and it could be 3 months before they get it back to you.
Ugh.
But yeah, obviously they kind of pioneered a lot of this, but then didn't really keep up with it.
Right. That's what happens.
Anyway, I think maybe that is all I have. I know for sure.
Yeah, that's all I got for the day. We're closing out a little bit early, but hopefully we can get this down for maybe the next one for you guys. Again, this was the Drew Ingram and Brian Cayley coming at you via Skype podcast now.
That's right. We're doing it. So this has been Gamers First. And until next time, y'all take care.
Later.
Headed down south to the land of the pines. I'm thumbing my way to North Carolina. Staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it down the coast in 17 hours. Picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers. And I'm hoping for Raleigh, I could see my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, rock me. Rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Southbound train.